Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, we haven't even thought about putting up the Halloween decorations yet. That's if you put them up at all. But we're already being urged by retailers to start thinking about Christmas shopping. Some of the biggest toy stores, furniture retailers, clothing outlets, they've all issued warnings about product availability. And with supply issues comes price increases. And here to tell us a little bit more is Amanda Radcliffe, lecturer in retail marketing and strategy at TU Dublin. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Claire.
So I suppose ultimately what we want to get to the bottom of is whether we need to start our Christmas shopping now. But let's talk about some of the issues around this, because we know that we had a manufacturing slowdown during the pandemic. Do you think we should be sceptical about these reports? I mean, it could be just a ploy, couldn't it, to get us out there spending early?
I fully understand your cynicism, Claire. But actually, I think not. No, unfortunately not. In fairness, I think every year this would be a very, very busy time. That we know that the period from September to Christmas in any normal year is by far the busiest for retailers. They make a high proportion of their profitable income, you know, during those months, because consumers naturally start getting ready for Christmas. I'm always a last minute person myself, but some people are very well organised and, you know, and shop early. So, however, this is not a normal year, okay? So we're now almost 2 years, well, certainly, you know, a good 18 months longer into the effects of the pandemic. And it is fair to say that those effects, you know, really have created huge disruption in global supply chains, you know? So the supply chains, of course, we all retailers ultimately depend on the supply chains to guarantee product on shelves. And when you've got problems in the supply chains, and there are massive problems in the supply chains at present, that is going to create shortages in store, unfortunately, for consumers.
Well, Amanda, let's look at some of the retailers then who have issued warnings at this stage. IKEA is one. They're warning that up to 10% of their lines won't be available in Ireland. What do you say to that?
Well, again, in fairness to IKEA, I would certainly take whatever they would say very seriously, because it's not in their interest. You know, it's not a good news story. You know, they want to be able to deliver. But again, if we think back to last year, you know, so in the pandemic, of course, we had lockdown. Lockdown, consumers were, you know, stuck in their homes, a huge proportion of consumers globally. So, you know, while we know that demand, you know, for certain items, of course, then went through the floor. I mean, lipstick is the classic example of that, office suits, etc. as well. Then demand for other items really skyrocketed, you know, yoga pants and loungewear, all of the things that could help us feel good. But one other major sector, retail sector, that was impacted was, of course, homeware. Because when people were spending more time in their homes, you know, they started to put more thought into what they really wanted from their home. So either they had to create new spaces, new play spaces, or educating at home spaces or workspaces, or they just wanted to have a more pleasant environment. So, of course, demand for certain types of, you know, comforting homeware definitely increased. And, you know, IKEA, no more than anybody else, they also, you know, would source a lot of their product in Asia, you know, so they are also definitely impacted by this increased demand, and also at the other end, this kind of supply crunch. And not just in supply, but the ongoing effect through the supply chain, because supply chains are very complex and they're very long, and particularly when you've got them, you know, organized on a global scale. And they don't fix quickly. There's no quick fix. When you've got delays, you've got these huge shipping containers. When they're slowed up, you know, or they're blocked in ports, you remember the problem with the Suez Canal last
year? Yes, and
the Ever Given.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, that was just a catastrophe. It was exactly what wasn't needed, you know, at the time. And unfortunately, that created, you know, a huge backlog, and that then takes time, of course, to catch
to
up.
To work through. So I suppose mm-hmm. then the same logic would apply to toys, because Smiths mm. have issued a warning as well. They're saying you should buy early. And toys are complex, aren't they? Because they have mm-hmm. parts coming from different sources.
Well, that's the thing. Of course, as consumers, you know, we go in to buy our Barbie or our Lego or whatever it is, and, you know, we take it for granted that, you know, this is manufactured by Mattel or Lego and made in whatever country, and that's really sort of all we need to know. But, of course, it's much more complex than that. So whether it's Mattel or Lego, they're, of course, going to have sub-suppliers. And really, they're going to have networks of suppliers, also on a global scale. Okay, so and particularly with the toys, I mean, we're far from the little wooden train sets. You know, although they're still there, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But toys are very complex now. So many toys are now electronic. Well, there you've got a completely different business. You know, now inputting into the what was the traditional toy industry. You've got a completely different sort of global network of suppliers. So these are very, very kind of complex. You know, what's amazing is that it generally works so well, and that's because companies really invest a huge amount in their supply chains and, of course, you know, in information flows, etc. But when you get the situation that we've had over the last year and a half, it really has been. Now, I believe you used the term yesterday. I was talking to your producer, but it's the only term that I can use to describe it. And it is a perfect storm. It is, you know, anything that can go wrong has gone wrong.
Well, when these supply chains are complex, I suppose they're sensitive as well. On the other side of it, you know, maybe Santa should be bringing less this year. Santa will mm-hmm. have the same issues with supply, of course, as the retailers will.
Exactly.
But for environmental reasons, perhaps we should all be thinking about buying a bit less. But maybe that's a conversation for another time, Amanda. I know Penny's is the fashion retailer that stands out. It said that it's experiencing some delays mm-hmm. in the handover of its autumn-winter stock. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Yeah, they have announced that. Now, that's, of course, devastating news for Penny's. As we know, the Penny's Primark, for example, they don't sell online. They don't have, you know, sort of e-commerce operations. That's a strategic decision on their part. So they really, really depend on selling in store, and they're very good at it. But in order to be able to do that, you have to have product to sell. So, of course, Penny's do source a huge amount of product from Asia. I would just say I happen to know that they do have very good sustainability practices. So I don't want people to visualize kind of bad practice there. They actually take that very, very seriously. However, if the product, again, isn't coming through, well, then they not only will not have product on shelves, which is devastating at this time of the year particularly, but with high fashion items, you're going to miss the season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if they kind of come in months later, okay, if it's pyjamas perhaps or socks, that's fine. But for any of the high fashion items, well, you know, you're definitely going to make a loss on that.
Yeah, I suppose the solution to all this is not just buying less, but also buying mm-hmm. local.
Buying local, exactly. Now, I didn't really have enough time there to look into, but I would encourage people, you know, whether it's toys or homeware, but certainly for all Christmas gifts, you know, to really look at local suppliers. I think this time last year, it's something particularly that we were all aware of through the Champion Green initiative, et cetera, as well. And I remember Conor Pope in the Irish Times published a wonderful list of, you know, of local suppliers of all sorts of goods. And it's something I think that should be very much on our minds as consumers this year, whether it's for toys or for clothes, to really kind of consider local first, because companies are still in trouble and, you know, still trying to survive. And, you know, it really benefits all of us.
Yeah,
and
I think
vibrant sector here.
A lot of people found those lists really useful last year and certainly used them as well. Anecdotally, we were hearing that a lot of local Irish artisan producers did really well. But for people who do need these products for the retailers, you're saying this is not a marketing ploy. Mm. You need to get out there early.
Indeed. If there's something specific that you know that you really want, don't take a chance on it.
Okay, yeah. Amanda, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Amanda Ratcliffe there, lecturer in retail marketing and strategy at TU Dublin. Let's take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.